CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Cyberspace, cyber criminals. Guardian reporting, the U.S. has led allies in a sharp condemnation of China for malicious, quote, cyber attacks, including a hack of Microsoft Exchange email server software that compromised tens of thousands of computers around the world. The U.S. Justice Department earlier this week charged four Chinese nationals with hacking. Washington accused Beijing of extortion and threatening national security. The Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, said that this conduct by China was part of a, quote, pattern of irresponsible, disruptive, and destabilizing behavior in cyberspace, which poses a major threat to our economic and national security. I welcome Georgiana Shea of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the chief technologist at the Cyber Innovation Lab, to help me understand what happened. What is it that means a Microsoft hack? And how does this connect to a word that has also been used in connection to these events, ransomware? Georgiana, a very good day to you. Thank you for this, for helping me. What is it that China does to hack Microsoft? Is this the good old-fashioned phishing? Good day to you.
Well, first, thank you for having me. I appreciate being here. So is this the good old-fashioned phishing? That's the question you just asked me. And what is China doing? So my personal thoughts, and when I talk to people about China, I like to paint the image of a 24/7 Department of Hacking in China. So they are always trying to do something. You might not be reading about it. We might not have discovered it, but given the size and maturity and sophistication of their capabilities, you can always count on them doing something. So phishing is always alive and well. Phishing is an email that people receive looking for specific information. There might be links involved that then plant the malware. That malware will then get them into the system when you have that unwitting human user that goes through and unwittingly puts the software into their system, and now China's in your actual network. So it's an easy way to get into the network. It's not the most sophisticated way, but you don't have to be the most sophisticated to get into systems. So China uses the spectrum of low technical capability phishing to very high technical capability.
Let's go to the word hack of Microsoft Exchange email server. That sounds like more than phishing. Now, Microsoft is a fortress of the solar system. I mean, I think of it as a castle that you're never going to get into. All right, fine. So how did they do it? Do we know? Are there many roads in?
There are, because even though Microsoft is a global presence, when you deploy Microsoft Exchange to your organization, and these were all on-premises Exchange servers. So now the security responsibility becomes that of that organization that is using the Microsoft Exchange server. It's not being managed by someone else. So when you look at these companies, maybe they had a small resource for cybersecurity. Maybe they haven't updated their patches. Whenever you buy anything, Microsoft, anything software, you will always find vulnerabilities within it. There will always be updates. So, Microsoft will put out patches regularly. And if your team, your organizational team is not on top of updating those patches, it's a doorway into your system. So it goes beyond just, Microsoft. It's the individual organizations and the resources and the effort they're putting into securing their own systems.
Does Microsoft have a remedy for this? And part two of that question is, why did this happen in the first place? If what you're saying about China would not be a secret that they're a 24/7 operation.
Right. So there are websites, there are organizations, there's a ton of information online where you can see the daily hacking activity. This particular event, rises to national level and exposure. It was actually kind of funny. My brother was talking to me a couple weeks ago, and he asked if this was taking off. Are we having more hacks? And I'm like, no, not really. We're not having more hacks. We're just getting more visibility, more public visibility into them. So I've been in this field for over 20 years now. So, my daily life has seen, we have hundreds of thousands of hacks going on in the country and around the world every day. So it's not just ones or two compromises happening. It's all the time, every day. this particular hack got a lot of attention because it was, in fact, Microsoft, and it compromised tens of thousands of machines. So the bigger the impact, the more publicity it gets. And then when you said, yeah, go ahead.
No, the Microsoft knew this was coming then. In other words, I'm getting the sense that this is routine business, and it popped up in the news. And so that's why I was puzzled about it. Happens every day.
Well, it happens every day that there's vulnerabilities in software. It happens every day that software is put out and there's issues with it. And it happens every day that they discover vulnerabilities and they put out these, they're called patches. So it's the fixes to the system. You can think of the SolarWinds is also another great example. There was a vulnerability in the software that they deployed in March of 2020. Nobody knew about it, but then it was discovered. So they put out a patch in they put out a CVE in January 2021. So then people were aware of it. So software vulnerability is a constant threat to all systems, not just Microsoft, but they do have a regular practice of identifying vulnerabilities and then, putting out patches so that organizations can then download those patches, fix their systems, and then make them more secure. They even have programs within Microsoft and other organizations where they hire people to find those vulnerabilities in their systems. They're called bug bounties. So, it's a practice of maybe having a competition, bringing together a bunch of people to go through and try and hack their code. And if they can find a bug, then they reward them with maybe $20,000, maybe $10,000, maybe $1 million, if it's on the black market, but it kind of depends on who's doing the bug bounty, how much they want to pay. But there are people who do this for a living to find those vulnerabilities, and they can either give you that information and you can use it for good, or you can pass it over and it could be used for bad. It just depends on who finds it and who they give it to.
Part of the revelation was that there were four indictments by the Justice Department, three of them Ministry of State Security officers. So do these hacks have an author? Can we say this hack came from Y or this was Z's idea?
You mean an actual individual?
Yes.
I'm sure the organization that did the hack can, but these are usually cooperative big program efforts where you have a team of people putting together the hacks. And with this Microsoft hack in particular, there were four zero-day exploits in there. So I know I talked about the vulnerabilities of software, but the zero days were unknown vulnerabilities that hadn't been discovered. Some of the Microsoft Exchange servers were compromised because they knew of the holes in their system and they just hadn't gotten around to patching them. So that was just poor practices on their individual behalf. But then those that were on top of their security, they didn't know about some of the vulnerabilities, these 0 days, and there were no patches, and those came in. So to orchestrate a large offensive operation like that, it wouldn't necessarily be one person. It might be a vision and then a project leader, a bunch of different programmers, some testers. So I don't know who you individually hold accountable. And I know I had heard there's four and one affiliate hacker, three officers. So I'm not really sure specifically how they identified those four individuals. It kind of becomes under the black box of attribution where we found out from the intelligence community, but they don't actually let us know publicly how, whether you HIMINT or SIGINT.
I see. If we told you, we'd have to shoot you. Okay, fine. The other part then is ransomware. My general thinking over these last decades was that the Russians like to steal, highwaymen, hit you over the head and take your purse. The Chinese like to spy, take your documents. Has that line been erased?
I think the internet kind of erases all lines. So when you say China, Russia, it becomes those nation states. It becomes affiliates of the countries. It becomes private citizens. It becomes supportive organizations and companies. So there's just like a real blur. And that's why attribution is so difficult, because you got to, almost get their admission of guilt, because through forensics, you can't tell that. Traditionally, China has been more on the strategic, theft, intellectual property, wanting information, being able to use information for future use. Russia has always been more of the, mafia mentality, you know, credit card theft, you know, trying to get money, ransomware stuff. But, you know, again, cybercrime across the internet has no firm boundaries. So, when you just look at the mass population of China and the capability, ransomware is quite lucrative. I mean, you can look at the, like dark side ransomware, that was being seen between October of last year and, March of this year. They made over, I think it was like $90 million. I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of money for a couple months of work. And so when you see that, you know, each ransomware attack is, you know, averaging $4 million in payouts, I think everyone kind of wants to get in on that.
Georgiana Shea is the chief technologist of the Cyber Innovation Lab at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. If you think you're not safe, you're right. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.